I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Des Bishop Podcast. Well, we have a guest, first guest in a while. It's exciting because it's exciting for me because I got a little giddy about meeting this fella, because he's the first Irish Peloton instructor, Daniel McKenna. And I was surprised that more Irish people weren't aware of him. I wasn't. So I was surprised I wasn't aware of him. And we met up. He gave me some great information about my injury. And anyway, I asked if he could do the pod. And I had to go through Peloton corporate. And I'm a Peloton fan, so I'm not faking it, but I did have to get permission. It's very rare that I have to do that, so that was kind of cool. Now, after we recorded this interview, Peloton, you know, had a bit of, like, I guess, you know, they had some stuff going on in the press. We do not talk about that, and I'm not interested in that. So, in case you're waiting for a bit of drama, a bit of tea about Peloton, it's not in this conversation. It's really just the conversation about how he ended up in the States, going from a Monaghan County player to a full-time Peloton instructor with ever-growing social media following and kind of fortuitous pandemic things that went on for him. And it's an indulgence for me because I love fitness, and it's a fun chat. And I think he's excited too to get the word out to Ireland that he's doing well abroad. Nothing else to report from me, really, other than the show is going great. I just actually did two nights in Nice, got great feedback, and I have it. I think the show is like 96% there. I know it's crazy to say because I started doing it in early 2020, but I had it pretty close before the pandemic, and then it took me a little bit to get it right again. But I think it's 95, I'm going to say. 95% there. A couple of tweaks that I could do. I've been a little lazy this week. I think there's a couple of tweaks that are due, but all in all, I'm pretty happy. And it's very emotional for the audience. And I think these last 2 weeks, I've managed to ramp up the emotion. Like, not like in a cheap way, but I'm allowing it to hang there when it's supposed to. I'm allowing people to get into their feelings about their own experiences with grief and relationships with their parents and loss. And so do check out the show, Mia Mama, desbishop.net/tour dates. Also, I'm obsessed with the Julia Fox Uncut Jams, which if you don't know about that, then the joke that I put up on Instagram and TikTok won't make sense. But I was very happy because it went viral. But I was also quite surprised because, well, when I say viral, like, it did well on TikTok, you know? It's getting up there towards the million. But so if you haven't seen this thing that's going around, Julia Fox, a very sort of funny accent. She's just recently was with Kanye or Ye. And she has a kind of an annoying voice, but Alex Cooper from Call Her Daddy asks her if she's Kanye's muse. And then she says, what is a muse? And she was like, well, I was Josh Safdie's muse on Uncut Jams. And so this then went crazy viral and everybody's doing their versions of Uncut Jams. And so I was thinking, when something becomes that known, Uncut Jams, I was coming back from the coffee shop yesterday and I thought of a funny joke where I would say, this is a message for all the uncircumcised men in the world. From now on, when people refer to our penises, they have to call it Uncut Jams. Uncut Jams. And I thought it was funny. and it did well. But what shocked me was how much controversy talking about an uncircumcised penis would bring. My God, there's huge debates going on my TikTok, particularly, of some people calling circumcision genital mutilation. And then the opposite side of people being like that uncircumcised penis is the most disgusting thing, and that you're essentially sentencing your child to a lifetime of embarrassment because they have the skin that God gave them, their natural penis, and everything in between, from discussions about cleanliness and smells and smegma and all this kind of stuff. It was very funny because, you know, I think I've talked about it before, but I was the only uncircumcised one of my three brothers because I was born in London. So I was always aware that I was a little different in the States. Of course, I was here. I'm normal in Ireland. Most of us are hooded. Most of us need, what was that? ASBO? What was that? That rule they brought in the UK for like people with, you could use it to stop people wearing hoodies. Well, you'd need an ASBO for my penis now. Fine hoodie on it. But anyway, do check that out. I think there's an episode in that. I might get like a public health person to discuss the pros and cons of circumcision. I mean, I've looked it up, you know, and, you know, this podcast episode is quite long, so I don't need to get into it, but I think I will in the future look into the history of circumcision from a health perspective and obviously from a religious perspective. And a lot of it is religious, which is ridiculous. But I would lean towards the sort of, I'm not very passionate about it, but I would lean towards the sort of genetic mutilation side. You know, I think it's kind of strange that we circumcise people, but, you know, let's not get into it. Anyway, do check that out and enjoy Daniel McKenna. He's on Instagram at the Irish Yank, which we talk about again at the end. Hit me up on Instagram at Des Bishop. Des Bishop 5 is my TikTok, by the way. And facebook.com/Des Bishop. I'm in Kells tonight. Probably some of you will listen to this before that. So Kells, County Meath tonight, and then Portlaoise Thursday. Friday, I'm in Greystones, but that's sold out. But the funny thing about that is keep your eye on that because they're continuing to have limited capacity at the Whale Theater. So they may, with this NFIT recommendation, they may release some tickets this week, but currently that's sold out. And then there are some tickets left for Letterkenny on Saturday in the Ungreen On Theater. So check that out. And yeah, I'll talk to you at the end of the app. So Daniel McKenna.
Yes.
The Irish Yank.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that because I was the Yank in boarding school.
Yeah.
So welcome to the podcast. For a happy birthday, by the way.
Thanks very much. I appreciate that. If my voice sounds a wee bit raspy, it's because we drank for a long time.
Yeah, you had a good weekend. You're 30. You're 30.
I am, as of a Friday past there, yeah, 30.
I remember 16 years ago, my 30th birthday. I remember thinking it was momentous. And now, of course, I laugh at myself for thinking that it was momentous because I've since had the 40th.
Right.
And I'm even closer to the 50th. But the good news is that I think your 30s is kind of like, 30s is like the best decade.
I've been told, everybody who's there, like, just said, oh, you're in your 30s, you're on the third floor, it's even better than the second floor. So
I mean, and you know, because you're a very fit guy, which is what obviously we're going to talk, I'm going to introduce you properly now in a sec, but just because we're talking about your 30th birthday, you know, your 30s in 2022, I feel like, is really, you know, like peak time. You know, you're still a single guy, right?
Yeah.
So it's really, especially in New York, I mean, I think you're really about to thrive.
That's the goal now, to be honest.
You know, I think this is really the beginning of the best time of your life, you know. And seeing as you're from Monaghan,
yeah,
it's all uphill.
Up the farm. It is literally.
it's all up from here, man.
Literally, yeah. You once you arrive to Monaghan, you're going up a hill. Yeah,
Right. Sounds so right. You know, so this podcast, honestly, it's more Irish listeners than American listeners. So let me indulge the Irish listeners early on. Right. So of course I've gotten to know you now because I was quite excited that you're the first Irish Peloton instructor.
That's right.
Right? There's no other Irish from Ireland, right?
No.
Yeah, so that's a big deal.
Big deal, yeah.
No fake. Are there any like actual Irish Americans on there?
Well, everybody in America thinks they're Irish.
No, I know. That's what I mean. You know, because I grew up thinking I was Irish before the Irish very unpolitely told me that was not the case. No. But obviously I know you're proper Irish. I have to say, listening to your accent, I'm surprised that Peloton went for you as the first Irish. You think they would have gone for somebody with a more gentle accent? They've really gone full.
No, they were like, we're going all in here. We're going to get a bite that nobody will really understand.
Not only can we not understand, he's the most Irish-looking person that's ever been created.
Literally. Look up Irish in the dictionary, you'll see a picture of me.
Which is great, you know,
Honestly, I love it.
But anyway, in all seriousness, that was the exciting thing. And, you know, what annoyed me, and I said this to you when we had lunch last week, was I was annoyed that I wasn't aware of you.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like you've been under-celebrated in Ireland for the achievement, because let's face it, Peloton is really one of the most successful fitness companies. Like these days, 2022, by the way, I'm a Peloton bike owner.
Yes.
So I've always been
big Peloton guy.
A Peloton stan.
That's right.
Even though I only started using the word stan about 4 months ago, but I've always been a Peloton stan. But I mean, you know, these days Peloton's pretty high profile.
Yeah.
Even though Ireland doesn't have Peloton bikes yet, you know, Ireland is not like a country where Peloton is yet. I guarantee you, everybody in Ireland knows about Peloton, and I know for a fact that as they become aware that there's an Irish Peloton instructor, there's going to be some excitement about it.
Yeah.
So it annoyed me when I found out about you because I was shocked that I didn't know.
Yeah, you're like, oh, damn, fuck.
No, so I mean, you're not a bike. I know you're not a bike
so
guy.
So I'm not the bike, I'm the
So that makes sense. But I didn't mean it from the point of view of my own Peloton use, which has been restricted due to a groin strain, which I've bored my listeners about.
Yes.
But in terms of you, I was annoyed that I wasn't aware of it.
Well,
so
we changed that pretty quick, didn't we?
I was excited. Yeah, well, you hooked me up with a physio, you're very much like, I realize here that you're very connected to kind of like the Irish mafia here. When I say mafia, of course I'm joking.
Yes,
right? We're not talking about the mafia, we're talking about the networking.
Yeah, we're too lazy to be a mafia.
Like my brother's literally about
too drunk to
my
be mafia.
My younger brother's literally about to get a job as a doorman that came through the GAA. I mean, there is some connection.
It's unbelievable. It's like, you know, here, hold on, I know a man who knows a man about a dog. Here, hold on, give me a sec, I'll ring you tomorrow.
So anyway, I wanted to indulge the Irish audience because you're hitting your 30s now. You're a Peloton instructor. This is this stage of your life, which is very high profile, New York, fancy fitness life. But you come from a more traditional Irish fitness life, in that you did play county for Monaghan, correct?
Yeah.
Proper county, right? Not junior.
No. Played for Monaghan. I was played for like the county. I was joint captain, county minors, and then under 21 for 4 years, and then senior since I was 19.
And when did you finish up?
I think it was 25. I moved into Chicago in 2016. So I played from 19 to 25 for the county.
Oh, right. And what was the highest level of success? Because I feel like Monaghan's had a pretty good
decade. Yeah, we won one of the Ulsters. I was on the second time we beat Donegal. That time I was on the panel. It's good.
Yeah, and winning Ulster is a big deal.
Winning Ulster is a massive deal. Yeah, it is very hard. I think it's the hardest provincial title to win out of the four. You're coming out of there, you know. You're
coming
doing
out
right
of thing. The tough.
Yeah.
You know, people used
them
to.
Them Hardy boys up there. Soft boys down in Cork.
You know, because you have to have skill in Munster. Whereas in Monaghan, you just have to, like, not care about your body.
Yeah. Be the shady for an hour.
No, I mean, I'm kidding, but you did come out of it. You kind of came at the tail end of that, like, probably unfair criticism of that Ulster style, which was pretty tough.
Yeah, you don't really want to be too soft now if you're.
And I mean, I'm not like a sports podcast guy, but you know, I mean, it's fun to indulge in a little bit of a GA chat. Looking back now, 30-year-old head, you got a lot more information connected with this physical therapist that you connected me with. You understand about movement?
Yes.
What do you wish? Because I know you had a bad injury when you were like 21 or something, because I have the same injury now. But what do you wish you could have told yourself?
A lot.
With 10 years of, I mean, you got high level information now. You've been exposed to a lot.
Yeah.
Like, what are the things you wish you could have told yourself back then? And also told the trainers, which, to be honest, 10 years on, they probably know a lot more now anyway.
More now, yeah. Honestly, I would have said go out for more pints. Go on out and have the crack a bit more. Yeah.
You probably would have said, to be honest, when you're 20, you can do this. Go. So do it as much as you can. Because when you're 30.
You can't do it as much.
When you're 30, it's not going to be possible.
You mind that time you didn't go out for pints? Yeah, you should have went out for pints. That would have been the first thing you would have told yourself. But no, yeah, I definitely would have said a lot different, you know, the technique and training and more looking after yourself and just even the difference.
More strength stuff, more too, right?
More strength stuff. Like, it's funny, you know, when remember back, was that 2010? It was all bench press and squat and biceps. Like, that was kind of it.
Yeah, because
tight fit shirt, got fit arms.
Exactly, so that you could go out on a Saturday night and look good in a tight fit shirt. And when you go to Tenerife... Sun's out, guns out.
It was tired. Like, the gym wasn't really for like getting better football. It was more, I got to look well with this tight fit shirt.
You got to work on your thighs. That's a lot of things Americans don't understand. Is that you're exposing a lot more leg as a GAA player than you would as an NBA player.
Yes.
NBA player only has to worry about his calves.
Yeah, literally.
A GAA player has to literally worry about the crease in his arse.
Literally.
It's so short.
Whenever I wore the shorts over here a few times in the gym and... like, the looks you get, it's just unbelievable. Because I'm in Greenwich Village here, or the gym was in either Greenwich or Chelsea, and like, there's a lot of more women in the gym and a lot of gay guys in the gym, like, not as many like young straight fellas ever. So when you're wearing them shorts, you get attention from both the gay guys and the women.
Yeah.
And the girls are like, where can I get them shorts?
Yeah, but that's it. You could create a whole new fashion.
I'm telling you.
Which of course, you know, I think that, what's his name? Connell. On Normal People, probably actually brought a bit of stylishness to the O'Neill shorts. Yeah. Even though I believe in the book he was a rugby player, in the show they made him a GAA guy. But
He made them fashionable.
Yeah. So because the other thing I wanted to ask you about was like burnout. Just because, like, that's a big thing that always comes up on, like, second captains and stuff like that.
Yes, yes,
do you think that's a real thing?
I do. I definitely do. Coming from that time where I was playing on four different teams at the one time, you can definitely, like, there's not enough emphasis on recovery, I find. You know, yes. I think, you know, 10 years ago in the GA, they were trying it, but it wasn't really happening, you know. I think a lot more nowadays they're focusing on recovery a bit. But I think the burnout is real. But I think that if they had, I don't know, a few, like a more break sometimes, like a week or two off here and there, spread out throughout the year instead of just gung-ho as long as possible and then hope for the best, it might help. But I definitely do think there's a bit of burnout. But I think if we focus on a wee bit more on recovery, it'd go a long way.
Yeah.
It'd go a long way. Educating the GAA a bit more on... even just after a session, like instead of just going in the shower and going home or going for a pint upstairs in the club room, like I think if there was an emphasis on recovery after the session at least once a week, it'll go a long way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but I would like to think that there's been a lot of evolution even in that 10 years.
Yes, massive evolution. Like there's a lot, the trainers are more savvy now, they actually know and they want to go and learn. And then they want even the players themselves now. Obviously, Instagram's a big thing. Like, we didn't have Instagram back in the day. Like, so, you know, that the information is just so ready there.
Yes.
It's obviously, there's a lot has happened. A lot has changed now.
Yeah, because I think that has a lot to do with it. And I feel like in Ireland, before we talk about you coming over here, the last thing I want to say is, like, I feel like Irish people care a lot more about fitness than they used to. And I definitely think that the generation coming through now, like people in their early 20s, like they drink less. They're definitely more into fitness. Yeah. They're definitely more into their image.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pros and cons, I know.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's been kind of like a revolution, like a later revolution in Ireland than, say, in the United States.
Yeah.
Because when I was 12, we were like bench pressing. But like when I went to Ireland, nobody was like cared about their body. Whereas now, like I feel like...
Yeah.
I feel like the average GA player can't wait to take his top off at the end of a match.
Literally.
Whereas like 20 years ago, they'd be like, put that fucking thing back on.
What? Look at that idiot there taking his top
They're
off.
They're all ripped now. Yeah. Back in the day, they were like strong looking, but like in a way of like, this guy was digging holes all week.
Yeah, he's digging holes all week.
Yeah, and now, and so he's got like big shoulders, but he's not like ripped. Whereas now they all take their shit. They're all ripped.
Yeah, the tanning beds do a great job.
There, but that's a good thing, isn't it? Right, that the focus on fitness, even just in everyday society, yeah. has been a positive.
There's definitely been a big change. Like, and then on a kind of come back to it again, like the whole Instagram. Like, geez, you got to look well for your Instagram post. We're going to Tenerife now. I got to look well.
Yeah,
not for the football match and go on Saturday. No, next week, but we're going to Tenerife. Got to look well.
So, why did you emigrate?
So I'm lucky enough, I was born in the Bronx. I know I don't look it or sound it, but I was born in the Bronx.
You do to me. I've been up there.
You've been up there?
I've been up to Katona Avenue.
Well, it depends. If you go on two streets, yeah, you'd say I was definitely born. If you're on any other street in the Bronx, you'd be like, no, this boy's not from here. But yeah, I was born in the Bronx. And then I was, both parents are Irish. So I was here till about maybe three or four, and then went back to Ireland.
Oh, right.
So,
so what, 2016? Like, what was it about then?
So
the Jordanstown degree didn't work out.
No, Jordanstown didn't last too long. Now,
you didn't finish?
No, I did not.
Oh, right.
Okay. I was doing mechanical engineering.
Oh, right.
That didn't last long at all. That was just straight over my head. But sure, it wasn't.
It wasn't your.
It was my pro. It wasn't just my fault. But in school, like the boy who was meant to be saying, you know, you should do this course in this college, or whatever. He said, yeah, to go do this is great. Everything he told me was wrong. Like, it was the hardest course I've ever heard in my life. Like,
that's like, you can't like fake that.
No, you can't fake it. I went in and sat there the first day and I'm like, oh fuck, you know, I messed up here. Like,
yeah.
But I did a year, and then, but it was a real handy year. Like, it was a 4 or 5 year course. Like, in the first year was pure handiness. No, so I did the wrong course, and then I went to change it in the second year to clean energy, because, you know, renewable energy and save the world and save the penguins and all. So, but that didn't happen because I didn't get into that course. So in 2012, I had no job, no course, no nothing.
Oh,
so,
right.
So I was in Boston for the summer when I got the email, and they're like, pretty much, I have no job or a course or whatever. So I went back home and started my electrical. So I was a tradesman. I was an electrician. So from 2012 to 2016, I did a 4-year apprenticeship back home in Ireland. And just as it finished in 2016, Chicago, the Wolf Tones football team in Chicago, reached out to me and was like, do you want to come out and play for us?
Right. So, and you did have that GAA connection,
yes,
coming over here.
Yeah. So, played in Boston in 2012. That was the GAA connection. Played with the McInnespys in Boston. Unbelievable time. Unreal. And then 4 years later, I went to Chicago and played with the Wolf Tones. And then in 2017, came to New York and played for Sligo. Because when I had the passport, it was so easy for me to come over and back. Like, they didn't have to worry about visas and stuff.
At no time during all this were you thinking that fitness was going to be your career?
No.
Not at all?
Not even. No.
So where was your head at with fitness? Just keeping fit? Playing for the GAA?
So my mum is a PE teacher.
Oh, right. Okay. So it wasn't your genes.
It's in my, like, mommy was, mommy lived here. My both parents lived here in the 81 to 96. And mum was like the captain of like the soccer team, the Gaelic football team, the Camogie team. Like, she was like one of the best players in New York in the 90s, 80s, 90s. Unbelievable. So I got them genes in me, thank God. But so I was always fit, always doing fitness. And then I was the guy that was always in the gym. So when we were playing like under 16s and minors and all that, 21s, I was always in the gym. But again, you know, he's bicep curls for the night out just as much as the fitness. You know. But so I was always in the gym. So when I came to New York, I was going to the gym just like stress relief. You know, you go 5-6 times a week.
Yeah.
I was working as an electrician. So I came here in February 2017. So it is actually 5 years this week.
Oh, right. Wow.
That I'm in New York there, literally. So, that's another story now. If you want me to get into it, the transition from construction to
Yeah, I do. Fitness. That's basically what I'm alluding to. Yeah. So how did that come about?
Yeah, so I was an electrician for 5, 6, 7 years. Came here, did it, and
it's a great trade over
here. It is great trade over here, but I said this before, I'm not going to name any names, any of the bad names. I'll name the good names who helped me. But
you don't even name any names.
I'll not name any bad names.
You can just say some people helped you.
Some people helped me, and then some people.
But were you a local one guy here?
No, I was a non-union.
Non-union.
So I was working for an Irish company, and let's just say they didn't look after me too well.
Right, okay.
And the super who was over me was an absolute, am I allowed to curse on this, am I?
Yeah.
An absolute dickhead. So he was. He was the worst ever seen anyway. But anyway, worked from February 17 to May 2018, worked for this company. It was just over a year. And it got to a point where I was just like, fuck this. I hate this. Like, going in every day was just shite. At the exact same time, I was getting physio for my groin problem, yes, which you know all
which
about.
We've talked about,
get into it in a second or whatever. But anyway, I was going to a physio who became a friend of mine, not the same guy, he was a different guy. He was in New Jersey, Edgeworth, New Jersey. So I was going to see him, and he had a physical therapy place, whatever, and he was looking for a personal trainer to work there.
Right.
I was going to the gym the whole time, like I knew about fitness, whatever. So I was like, I'd love a job as a personal trainer. So this all happened very fast. It was a Tuesday morning, 9 a.m. Never forget it. The boy, the dickhead, came in, and I literally goes, "Fuck you!" Grabbed my tools and walked out. Quit that day. Rang my physio friend. I goes, "Do you have a job for me? I can start tomorrow." And he goes, "Yeah, come on over." That he couldn't pay me enough to like survive in New York. So the second phone call I made was to my other friend, Bonnie Duffy, who's a flooring company here in New York. I goes, "Bonnie," I'd mentioned it to him like a few weeks beforehand about possibly leaving.
Yeah, because we weren't happy.
Yeah. And then I goes, "Bonnie, any chance of a job?" He goes, "Yeah, meet Declan tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. at such a place." So I quit one job, and within two phone calls, I had two jobs the next day. That was May 18. So I worked for two jobs, fucking 16-hour days, like just real long for all of 2018, from May to December.
And you were living in Manhattan? Or
so I was living in Sunnyside, Queens.
Right. You're living the real Irish immigrant life.
Oh, up the Irish spice. Great spot. Sunnyside, powerful.
Yeah.
Some spot. It actually is. I love to say. But anyway, lived. So I was going to go from Sunnyside into the city. I'd work flooring from like 8 a.m., 7, 8 a.m. until 2 or 3 p.m. Get the bus from Port Authority. If anybody's been to New York knows how much of a wonderful place Port Authority is.
Port Authority.
Anyway, had to get a bus from Port Authority through the tunnel all the way up to Edgewater, New Jersey, which is up beside the GW Bridge, George Washington Bridge.
Right.
Train people then at my friend's gym from 3 p.m. till 9 p.m. And then I had to get the 9:36 p.m. bus from Edgewater all the way back down Jersey through the tunnel into Port Authority, and then walk through the tunnel to get to the 7 train to go out to Queens, which took another half an hour, and then walk 15 minutes to the apartment. So it was just pure torture, but it had to be done.
Yeah.
Like, there was no other option. Like, I had to do this to survive. And at this time, like, just to answer your question, I still didn't know what was going on and which direction I was going in. It was just blind faith. I think my friend Nikki like Cass said this the other day.
At this stage, though, were you thinking, like, I'm going to lean into the fitness?
Yeah, that's what I was trying.
You weren't
to
just
do.
Thinking, this is a handy gig to go up to...
No, there was far from a handy gig.
And was
no.
this guy helping you? Like, yeah. Was this guy
yeah,
teaching you?
Yeah, he was teaching me. So he was teaching me his way of training, whatever. But like, I come back to the electrician a lot here, where common sense, and you just figure it out, like, because the electrician job is there's a problem, where's the solution, like, you
so
figure it out.
So you're looking at the ligaments and the muscles, like, yeah, the red yeah. wire and the green wire,
yeah, literally. I'm like, what's wrong here, how can I figure, if we do this, does this help? Yeah, okay, let's do that again. After 8 months of doing this and earning peanuts, you're kind of like, where am I going with this, like? So yeah. Got to a point where I couldn't go any further either, and I was like, it's this fucking wild, it's like blind faith, where you know you just need to get up every day, go to work and do this, but you don't know where you're going or what's going to happen. You just know something good's going to happen. So I had a saying, think good shit and good shit will happen. So I just
that
had
was
a,
saying.
That was my saying. Get up every day and think good shit, because good shit's going to happen. But I didn't know what was going to happen. Blind faith, like, I just knew something good was going to happen. So come the end of 2018, I did a New York Sports Club reached out to me on a Tuesday and were like, would you come and do a photo shoot for us on Thursday? Because remember, I was going to the gym, there's 5-6 times a week.
Oh, so that was your gym?
It was in Sunnyside. It was the closest
one. Right,
it
right, right.
$10, $20 a month. So I just go there and I was tagging them, whatever. So they'd reached out, and the thing was, all of the people in the photo shoot were members of the gym. It wasn't like going out and getting like
influencers.
It was, we want models from the gym. And I was like, great. So that was great. That was November 1st, 2018. I did that photo shoot. Exactly a year later, I got the keys to this apartment here in Greenwich Village.
Because what happened?
Because from that photo shoot, I spoke to the guy who was over, like, he was one of the big guys in your sports club. I was like, I need a job, or I need a gym to train all my clients in. I had no clients.
Oh, you made it up?
I made it up. And I
So you literally just put it out there that you were a personal trainer?
Yeah, I was a personal trainer, and he was like, oh, there's this gym on 16th and 6th, in your sports club, blah, great, you go train your clients, you teach classes. Do you teach classes? I was like, oh, teach classes 100%, not a bother to me. Best fucking class teacher you'd ever get. didn't teach a class yet. No class.
So you were a spoofer. You oh, your-
I was like, I was charmed by his, sorry, he didn't even know what I was saying half the time. But I was, he emailed me in the email to the boss of the gym, whose name is Heather. Lovely woman. She's one of my best people I met since I got here. So going in for the interview with her, she grilled me. She did three interviews. Like, she handpicks the people who work there. And thank God, spoofed me way through that as well. I knew, like, I know what I'm talking about. Like, yeah, but at
you
same
were,
time,
you were training, you were working.
Yeah, I was just
it
working.
Wasn't like you were lying.
Yeah, I wasn't lying, but I wasn't really telling the truth either. But anyway, got the job in the gym in January of 2019, right? And then literally said to myself, I'm going to teach. And again, I go back to my mum, who's a PE teacher. So I had some coaching background. Like, I've coached teams at home and younger kids and stuff like that with mum at the PE and the summer camps and stuff. So I'm not like completely blind to it. So I shadowed a guy, Derek, one of my best friends now, Derek Stratton. I shadowed him for two weeks in the gym teaching classes. And I taught my very first class, I think it was like February 2019.
Wow, that was your first class?
My first New York class, I taught it in February 19. So I just turned... What was that, 3 years ago? So I was 28, or 20, I think it was just turned 28, maybe.
I'm not great with the math.
I know, either am I. I think it was 28 when I taught my first class, right? And from that, I said, I'm going to teach as many classes possible, as many classes, and it just took off. All of 2019, I just worked my ass off.
2019, right?
2019, I worked my ass off. I went from one class and one client up to, I think it was 12 classes a week and 16 clients.
Wow, that's great. So, I'm not a fitness instructor.
Yeah.
But every now and then when I'm in a class, I think to myself, like, I'd love to teach a class just because I reckon I'd be good at the crack of it.
The crack it is. It's just
good. So as a performer, I'm wondering how much of a performance was it in, like what were you good at straight away? What was the learning curve for you when you started hitting those classes?
Big learning curve. It was honestly, it was unbelievable. Now,
just out of curiosity, like, your first couple of classes, like, what were the mistakes you were making?
A lot, but nobody understood what I was saying, so I got away with it.
You often can't understand people in the classes because the headsets are usually rubbish.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, the microphone did not help things.
Yeah, the headset
did not help.
Like, because I work in with sound and stuff like that, which is of course comical because I forgot my headphones, so I actually don't even know how this is sounding right
Hopefully
now.
Hopefully, sounds all right.
Sometimes I can't even handle the anxiety that I get in a fitness class when like the mic is annoying.
Yes.
It drives me.
I know, it's so bad. It's so bad. So the gym, God love it. God, Heather, the boss, she was amazing. But like the sound system wasn't great. You know, it wasn't her fault because it was like the company's fault or whatever. But anyway, I'll never forget, right? I used to teach them one of my first classes.
What was the class? You remember?
Yeah, it was an endurance class, like an endurance class.
Okay.
You have the treadmills and the ski ergs and the bike and the sleds and the turf and all. It was great. And I was explaining, so we had a blackboard and you wrote like block one, block two, we had six blocks of work and I was writing on it and I was explaining what you were doing and I said the number 8. So if any American listeners here are listening, they don't know what I said. That is the between 7 and 9 or half of 16 is the number 8. That is like the one word what I say and nobody understands what I'm saying. So at that time I said, we're doing 8 reps of this and I'll never forget, there was 16 people in the class and every single head turned to the side and they're like, what the fuck did he just say there? And I was like, pause, and I was like, 8 reps, and they're still in, and the heads that were sides, they went to the other side and they're like, I still don't know what he just said. It was like
when you whistle at a dog
and he's like, what did you say? The head tilt.
So we might as well get to the juicy stuff.
Yeah, the juicy stuff.
So how does Peloton come about?
So Peloton didn't come then, it came after that. So in 2019, like the hustle part of it, like I'm like, hard work is just in me. Like I'm not going to like sit just, I'll lay on the sofa for 3 days and watch TV, no problem. But like I have to earn that kind of thing. So all of 2019, I had to get up at 4:30 a.m. to get a bus, to get a train, to get in for my 6 a.m. clients and classes because I live in Sunnyside.
Right.
So 4:30 alarm clock for an entire year, get the 5 a.m. bus. It was just pure hard work, hustle, get back at like 8 or 9 o'clock because I taught 6 a.m. classes and clients and 6 p.m. classes and clients in the same day. and everything in between. So it was pure hard work. Did that for all of 2019. And I said that at the start, I was going to hustle my ass off because I want to make it in New York City. And at that time, New York City fitness scene was so saturated. Like, there are so many personal trainers.
Yes.
Unbelievable. But they didn't look or sound like me.
Right, so you feel you had a point of difference.
Oh, massive. Like,
and you had natural, you make a natural connection with people, right?
Yeah, so again, even if they didn't really understand what I was saying, they liked the sound of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if I walk in a room, you will either know it's me by looking at me, or if you hear me before you see me, you'll know it's me as well. So I'm kind of, I'd be the worst James Bond ever. Yeah, fucking be terrible.
I don't know if the world's ready for redhead.
I don't know. I don't think they need that. So I'll leave it to Daniel Craig. But anyway, so did that, and then obviously 2020 happened.
Right. March 2020. The world shuts down.
The world shut down by that was some crack. So March 2020.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Virtual. Everybody went, like, it was very funny. Literally within a day, every single personal trainer in New York City became an online trainer.
Right.
Everybody was trying to figure out Zoom. And it was very funny because, like, the first person that figured it out and were like, right, I'm going to teach online classes on Zoom. How do you work this? Right. And then they figured out, that person figured out, the next person, like, how'd you do that? Oh, I did this. Right, I'm going to do that too. And then everybody just did it within a week.
And then suddenly Instagram stories are just full of, like,
all lives.
I'm doing a live class, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So then it was like, what time are you teaching at? I'm teaching at 7. Right, I'm going to teach at 6:30. Or I'm going to teach at 7:30. Like, you didn't want to teach at the same time or day.
And were you charging?
Yeah, so I did this where I was doing 5 days a week. I was doing Monday, Wednesday, Friday was an IG live morning, in the mornings.
Right, so you were doing those IG lives.
Yeah, I was doing IG lives.
There was a lot of them.
A lot of them. So I was doing IG lives Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and it was donation based. So people Venmo me if they wanted, whatever. People Venmo me 30, people Venmo me 5, somebody Venmo me 25 cents just for the crack, you know, like,
right.
Just for the banter. Like. So I did that, but then on Tuesday and Thursday evenings, I was doing Zoom classes, and it was kettlebells. So I was, at the time, 2019, I was learning a lot more about kettlebells and stuff, and obviously it helped a massive because they're so versatile and in a small space. Working with dumbbells too, both dumbbells and kettlebells. And the thing was then, I had a group that I said, right, I need you to stick with me for 2 months. And it was from the gym, like the people that I was teaching classes to in the gym came with me and did the Zoom. So did a program for 2 months and they literally doubled in strength, which was amazing.
You mean like people coming on the class?
Yeah. So there was 10 girls, 10 of the women.
By the way, if any listeners are wondering, this is New York City apartments. When the heat comes on,
yes,
it'll take you right back to primary school, like in the rural Irish
country. Yes, yes. You swear the bike's baiting that with the hurl there.
Very old school, heating systems here in New York. But apartments are naturally hotter here. But
yes.
We won't get into that.
No.
That's another story. So go ahead. I just wanted to make them aware in case they get distracted, because that's pretty loud.
That is pretty loud. It's where there's two hurls right beside it too. It's where it was getting bait off it. But anyway, so long story short, they doubled in strength. So it proved my point about the program and the different types of strength training. So I was like, I know what I'm talking about. This is great. Good weather came. People started kind of going back to work. It was like a phase 2 or 3. Like people
Going
back
to work. Summer was a bit more open.
Wee bit more. 2020 was a wee bit more open. One of the girls goes, why don't you teach it outside? I goes, jeez, that's not a bad idea. So on a Saturday, I think it was in June, I put it on Instagram, it goes, I'm going to teach a free class outside for anybody who wants to come. And I had about 12 kettlebells at this stage. I bought a few bells to teach, you know, and for myself here at home. Tucked the bells down, about 20 people showed up.
And from this apartment?
From this apartment here.
Yeah, so four flights of stairs, floor walk up.
Yes.
Four flights of stairs, yes. 20 kettlebells.
Yes.
Yeah. How many trips up and down the stairs?
A lot.
Yeah. That's a workout in itself.
That is work. And you know what's even worse? Taking them up after the class.
Yeah, right?
Jeez. Fucking brutal. So it gets even better than that. So anyway, that class was a success, right? So I said, right, I'll do it every Saturday at 10 a.m. And we had a very good, actually 2020 summers was very good.
And you
were
going to this park here in the corner?
Just down here in the corner, right? So I every Saturday I taught the class outside and more people kept coming. So then I goes, well, I'll do it on Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday. So three times a week I do a class outside, 6 p.m., 6 p.m., 10 a.m. It got to a point where so many people were coming, I had to do two classes. And then one weekend I did three classes back to back.
And nobody complained like in the park?
No. No, because no, the not many people were. Like, it was no permits and stuff like that was at that time, and there wasn't anybody out using it really. So it was
really?
Just me.
Oh,
it was
that's
just
great.
Me. Yeah, it was unbelievable. The skateboarders were using it. There, that was it. But then nobody. Everybody got to a point where everybody knew I was there on a Saturday, so nobody went. Nobody knew.
That was your spot.
That was my spot. And people would come and they'd line up outside watching it. Like people walking by, they'd stop and stand there for 10 minutes watching it. It was fucking unbelievable. But anyway, it got to a point where so many people coming. And I got my friend to come and video it. My friend's videographer, Malik, and he did an unbelievable job making videos. I put them up on Instagram and the whole thing kind of went viral. And
oh, really?
Yeah. There's so many people come. Like, there was one day, it was probably the highlight of 2020, other than getting the job, which I'll say now in a minute, getting the Peloton job. There was a weekend, I think in October, when a friend of mine, this coach, Darius from down Virginia, came up. He's like one of the best coaches in the country. Came up, he's a friend of mine. And we had nearly 80 people come through in two classes on that Saturday, and it was just unbelievable crack. It was unbelievable. So that then videos from that day caught the eye of Peloton, and then in August of 2020 they asked for, you know, would you like, you know, as in that was the audition process that started.
Wow. Yeah. So it I mean, it was like really you were a viral hit, really.
Yeah. So and not viral as in TikTok million views, but in the aspect of fitness in New York.
Yeah.
Because nobody had an outdoor class, and I by this point I'd bought 32 kettlebells ranging from 10 kg all the way up to 60. So I had 10s, 12s, 14s, 16s, 18s, 20, 22, 24, 28, 32, 36, 40, 44, 48, 52, 56, 60.
And we know how much of a struggle was it was you to get through all those numbers since you were so bad at figuring out your age.
Literally. So I had a lot of kettlebells and a lot of flights of stairs. So you imagine we had to carry all 32 up and down. But I will say after a point, the people who came to the class, they'd come early, help me carry them down.
That's great.
So I'd be like, all right, everybody grab a bell. Let's go. On up you go. I'll meet you up there. So that helped a lot. And that kind of honestly built a bit of camaraderie and a bit of crack after, like, you know, people carrying. So then
that's,
like,
that's a genuine success story, organic story.
Very organic, and that was people then came for the crack. You know, it was literally everybody came on a Saturday, they knew, and then they go get brunch after. It was a thing where they come to class, then they had the coffee, and then they went and got brunch. It's like, it was just some great crack.
So you probably miss that now, right?
I do miss a bit of crack now, I'm not going to lie. Obviously, COVID, like, there's in-person classes are kind of, you know, a bit funky still. But, yeah, definitely you do miss a bit of crack now, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Okay, so now you've gone from being an electrician in 2017 to auditioning for what I would consider to be
at least
the A-plus tier. I'm not going to name other jobs, but in the fitness world, I got to feel like working for Peloton is in there in that top tier.
Yeah, everybody else sucks. Peloton's great.
Yeah, but you know, but in all seriousness,
no, they are.
It's one of the most high profile fitness jobs that you can have.
Yeah,
right.
It is.
I mean, it's up there with like when I was a child and like these shows used to be on in the morning of like you know like you're up there as like a high profile fitness guy. But before you're doing that, you are auditioning. Yeah. Were you aware of the, like, where was your head at with that?
Yeah, so just starting this here off, like, Peloton is unfucking believable. Like, it's the top job. It's the top fitness platform in the world. Like, it is, and they run a tight ship, and it is probably the best company ever to work for.
And, like, you're not going to be able to spoof them, right?
No,
So here's the thing. You've gone from going in there confident in 2018 and telling that company, I've done all this stuff.
Yeah.
But like, you're not going to be able to.
No. And I knew that. And I'd ask a couple of friends, you know, how, because the thing is, when you're in Ireland, like growing up, you're not really like going for auditions for stuff, whether any job, like you might send in a CV here and there.
Yeah.
But like I got my electrical job through like a friend who like the GAA, like I here, go on, start there now on a Monday, he gets your job back, kind of thing. But this here is like, you need to know how to talk to people and stuff. So it was a big learning curve, like going through these audition process and interviews and stuff. But I just said, I'm just going to be myself.
So
if
what
you don't like me.
Yeah. And like in that first audition, what did you feel they were trying to find out about you?
Just trying to find out me, because, you know, like, what's my story? And like...
Well, you clearly have a good story.
Yes, the story's great. The
story's good.
So, I was just being myself and talking where I came from and what I do and like what I think about fitness and all that there stuff. So clearly went well. Here we are a year later, I'm working for them. So
yeah, how many auditions did you have to do?
I think it was spread out over about 5 months.
Really?
Yeah, it took a minute. Like again, but it's very, if you think about it, it's done for the right reason. It's the right way. Like they're not going to hire, they can't hire somebody like, you know, just after a couple of one or two meetings in a week or two. Like you need to really figure out what the best situation is for that person. What can we do and how can we use me as the best, you know, best way possible, kind of thing. So I understand now like the reasoning behind it or whatever. And honestly, it's better for me because now then I appreciate it more and I understand what I have to do and like the job I have to live up to, kind of thing.
So how nervous were you?
Very.
The first time that you had a live class?
I was very nervous, but then I was trying to bring it back to like my Gaelic football playing days, and I was lucky I played in a couple of very big matches. So like the nerves, I try and relate back to the GAA days, and like the nerves are good, you know, but I know what I'm doing. I'm going to be all right. Like as long as I'm
I know, but back, when you're playing, so here's the thing. When you're playing GAA, because I know that feeling, mm-hmm. you know, very limited sports experience. But, you know, I have similar feelings before I do a stand-up gig
yeah.
to like when I was playing rugby, like in Black yeah. Rock College, right? Yeah. And Black I always had to go to the loo.
Yeah.
Always.
I always had some you know. Digestive issues.
Yeah.
But I didn't have to talk.
That's right.
Right?
That's
so right. now I know from comedy that when you have to talk, sometimes your mouth gets dry.
Yes.
Sometimes, so how did you deal with that?
Oh, I'm not gonna, like, honestly, looking back now, the class, so my premiere class, it was on the tread.
It went on the tread.
And honestly, it went very well. It did, and it as close to like as good as I could have wanted it to go, nothing really went wrong. It was great. Looking back now, I'm like, thank God. Like, fuck, because it was so hard. Like, I'm trying to explain this to like anybody. Like, I am running on the tread. Running on a treadmill, and I'm taking the class. It's not where before, where like I'm just standing there telling you what
yeah,
to do.
Yeah, because you can't walk around the different people doing kettlebells, being like, yeah, work this, on your form yeah, there, no, no. you know, straighten up your back. You're on the treadmill.
Yes, when I'm doing a hit class.
By the way, are you being honest about the speed?
Fuck yeah.
you know I can't hide.
I'm looking at Ali Love on that bike, and she's like, yeah, you want to be about 35 to 45. I was like, let me see yours, Ali. Let me see what you're at right now.
Let me see what you're doing now. Yeah, well, Ali's a beast. Shout out to you, Ali. Love Ali Love. Damn you, don't be cheering out there. Sorry, Dougal's trying to eat the microphone Dougal, here. So Dougal, what's up? What's
the,
up?
The puppy Rottweiler.
Yeah.
Yeah, so sorry. So you're really doing the class. No. And I guess... to be honest, I would never accuse any of yeah. the Peloton people for not being on the dip. But like, I would have no problem yeah. personally with them not going up yeah. as much because they need to take it easy. But the thing about the treadmill is you can't really hide on
no,
the
you can't.
Right?
That Adrian Williams, boy, he doesn't be going at that high speed though. I mean,
yeah, but you know,
like, shout out to Adrian. That's what you think of Adrian there.
No, you, so okay. I just want to talk a little bit about class one. Actually, let me step back just a touch because I want to set the scene because as somebody who like really enjoys Peloton,
yeah,
you know, I was Peloton before the pandemic, so you know, obviously, when you're coming in to a Peloton class in 2019. As an instructor,
yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about the bike, but there's 25 people or whatever there is in there on a bike. So you're walking into a class that feels familiar, right? Whereas you're coming in 2020 or 2021, whenever you started, and it's just a studio.
Yeah.
And you know that it's going out to all these screens.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's pretty lonely in there.
Yeah.
So it must have been nerve-wracking.
Yeah, yeah. And you know from...
What are you seeing, by the way? I don't know how much you're allowed to say, because I don't want to like step on the toes of the sanctity of what
yeah,
Peloton
no,
is.
Yeah, no, I'll try and keep a PG here.
No, but what I'm saying is like, when you walk into the studio, obviously you've done tests and stuff, yeah. but like, What are you seeing when you're walking in?
Well, just no, like the studio, it's the thread there, and then obviously you have the camera. So the same as like a studio set. Like
there's no cameraman in there, right?
It's just the tech team is like up in the other room, yeah. But it's just the cameras, or whatever. It's like think of it like the Tonight Show, late show. You know, you have the cameras there, and you can see the red dots. You're following the tally light or whatever. But somebody like, as in an Irish person who is used to having the crack, feeding off people's energy to going into a room where there's nobody, just you and the camera. That was probably the hardest part.
That was a big transition.
That was the big one. That was the big transition. That was the hardest part to get used to. But now, you know, now teaching live and you have the leaderboard, and especially getting the feedback from members on Instagram. So if you it's a subconscious thing. You know people are there now. You know some of the names of the people in the classes and stuff. So you get better at it. Obviously, as time goes on.
You start to feel that virtual connection.
Yeah.
And it actually inspires you.
Yeah. So just going back to the numbers, if I'm running the speed, if I'm teaching a HIIT class and we're sprinting, I am absolutely fucking sending that shit. Like, I am going flat out, like, I don't really hide it. Whatever class I'm teaching, I'm going all in. Like,
now, sometimes I haven't done the treadmill much nowadays, but when I'm in the treadmill, sometimes I really feel like I need to concentrate to not like
fall off.
Well, no, you know, but just not to lose my stride and stuff.
Yeah.
But like, I got to consider that like a difficult thing where not only on the treadmill running the class, but you got these names going.
Yeah.
What do you do?
It's a lot happening at once. I'm not going to lie. And it's very hard to explain to people like what I do. Like,
there's
as
a lot
job.
Of multitasking
there's
going
so
on.
There's so much multitasking because you have the cameras and then you have the time, the clocks and what we're doing and what we're teaching, what I'm saying. And I'm actually running at this point of all of this happening, trying to breathe and stuff. So learning how to breathe properly and stuff, the breath work is a big, obviously, you know, too, like when you're talking all the time and trying to get the jokes across, like you need to know how to breathe properly. So that was another learning curve. I think I'm doing all right at it so far. So far, so good. But that was definitely one of the learning points as well. Yeah.
How how much does a virtual high five mean to you?
Means a lot. It means a lot. You know, I was teaching a class. So not a high five, but I was teaching a class, one of my first classes, last year. And Ali Love was in my class. Like, she was on her treadmill at home running in my class. And it was like Miss Ali Love came up and it was her photo. But like, I was running and it caught my eye and I was like, shout out, Miss Ali Love, shout out to you. I didn't, like, I was like, is that Ali Love? Is that Ali Love taking my class? Like,
was it her?
It was her. Because I met her in the change room like the couple of days later, and she's like, no love? Like, I didn't give her like a proper like, shout out Ali Love, you know, taking my class. I was like, shout out Ali Love, you know. Good work, you know. Like,
but didn't think it was her.
I didn't think it was her. And then after,
it was like Miss Ali Love 36.
She tagged me then in the photo and in the post after the class, and I was like, Ali Love, I'm so sorry, I didn't know. I actually didn't think it was you. And that was a real fangirl moment right there.
Yeah, like, sure. Yeah. I would think that's a part of it.
Yeah.
When you go in there, so I mean, wouldn't you say that one of the benefits of working in the United States is that people are more comfortable with enthusiasm here?
So yeah,
that has to help with the, especially in the virtual, you know, in the nobody live in the class, like physically in the class to help you. It's got to help that the American Peloton culture, people are very,
they love it. You know, they're very enthusiastic, and they again, the high fives. I love good high five. I'm like the high five master. I go in the class and I'm like throwing out the high fives, but no, they are very, and it's they're. You know, as a Peloton member, like, it's the culture is great. Like, the members are amazing. They're so supportive. Like, if you hit a PR or your class is like a milestone 500th ride or whatever, they celebrate you. Like, it is very, very good. The community is amazing. So yeah, definitely there's a difference between, like, obviously the Irish enthusiasm and American enthusiasm is definitely a wee bit different now.
Yeah,
sure.
You know, because, you know, sometimes people are cynical about these fitness things. But the way I describe it is, I had an experience recently. I always thought that the scooter, you know, like the electric scooters,
yeah,
were like the dorkiest thing of all time.
And then you call me here.
I was very judgmental about the electric scooters.
Yeah.
And then I was in Richmond, Virginia, and there was all these like electric scooters,
right,
you know,
with
the apps.
Yeah, Bird. And, all of them,
yeah, all that. So I used one. And they are the coolest thing of all time.
They're unbelievable.
They're the coolest thing of all time.
Yeah.
And now I use them. Anytime I see them, I use them.
Yeah.
And I feel like, particularly with Irish people, but just there's a cynicism with certain people about virtual fitness. And let's face it, sometimes people can be cynical about, you know, things like Peloton because they feel like, oh, the Peloton, you know, like, oh, I'm not going to be one of these people sitting in front of a screen.
Yeah.
But I promise you, you will have the same exact experience that I had with the scooter.
Yeah.
Because, by the way, I never had a cynicism about Peloton. I bought that bike pretty early. And like I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
But the minute that you're in there, the one thing I have to say, and I'd be curious to know what your awareness is on the other side.
Yeah.
But for me, when I have the headphones on and I'm on the bike, and by the way, I'm not getting any money from Peloton. There's like a genuine love for it.
Yeah.
When you're on the bike, it's amazing how much of an experience you're having, even though you're sitting in your apartment.
Yeah.
Now, how much of that, what's the feeling like for you on the other side?
Oh, it's...
Do you get lost in it?
Yeah.
Like the people who are in the class?
Yeah, the endorphins is, it's unbelievable. Like, it's absolutely flying. Like, sorry, Dougal's again coming over. He's so inquisitive. No, like, the experience as the instructor teaching the class, the endorphins are flying. Like, it's such a buzz, you know, from being like on stage and people laughing, and it's just class. It's unbelievable. But then as a member myself, like, I have the bike, it's literally sitting here right beside us, and running on the tread as well. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, the setup is class, the big screen and the sound and everything. It's so, probably the best way of saying it is an experience.
I like the newer bike.
The nicest new bike's nice, isn't it?
This is nicer than my bike.
I know it is nice. Very nice. That's my bike. You're not taking it.
Yeah, I know. I actually haven't seen the newer bike now that we're looking at.
Take a good look at it there. It's unreal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good, man.
Pretty.
I need to upgrade.
Yeah. So, but definitely. And then, like, when you take the class, and then even as an instructor and also a member, when somebody high fives you on the leaderboard, you're like, oh, thank God. You know, I'm going to high five a person back. And then you're like competing against, and you see that person that passes you out in the leaderboard, and like, that motherfucker, I'm going to get him. And then you're trying to keep push your output and get like...
Well, I always just say that they're still cycling when we're doing weights. They're cheating.
Yeah, yo. See, hey, shout out, yo, you people, that when the class is over, when they're like, it's coming to the cool down, and you're still like pedaling up that hill. You're
trying to get up. Yeah. Listen, man, don't talk to me. I got a whole...
No.
One day I'm going to do a gig for Peloton. I'm going to talk about all the nonsense. You know, like, so we're doing, you know, bike and weights. There's plenty of classes that don't have weights in the program.
Yeah.
So why are you doing bike and weights? And you're clearly like... You're trying to whip up the leaderboard, when I'm doing weights, and I'm hustling hard with the weights. And I gotta be honest, I got heavier weights on the back of my bike than originally came with the bike.
Yeah.
I'm working hard on the weights. So why are you flying up the leaderboard? I had my eye on you.
Yeah, I know.
Jeffrey Indianapolis 76.
Yeah.
I had my eye on you, and we were neck and neck. How the hell did you jump 20 spots ahead of me while we're doing the weights? I know who you are. I've made up that name, by the way.
I don't know who Jeffrey is, but shout out Jeffrey, if that's your name.
Yeah, I made him up. So, all right, so I want to focus now because I got a couple of questions.
Yeah.
Since we're doing all these comparisons between performance,
yeah,
I hate when but if the demand is good enough that I have to do a second show, like a late show, I find the late show very tough because I've given it my all.
Yeah.
What's that like, that you have to be on more than just one class a day? Or how do you get yourself in the zone where you might actually be physically tired, but that can't be the message that you're putting out?
Yeah, it was a big learning curve too. You know, I have to show up and teach the class, like the class, every class. Like, I can't go in and be like, I don't really want to teach today.
I'm tight.
I'm tired.
I'm a little tight today.
Like, fair enough, if you're really tired or something wrong, you might, you know, you'll try your best, your energy might be off just a wee bit, you know, and they might come through the screen, but you're trying your best to, like, smile, be there, be happy, and give the best class every time. So obviously Peloton is amazing where they know this, so they're, like, trying to help me as much as possible, make sure that I'm fit to teach the class as best possible. But I give my all every class. Like, I'm not holding back. I'm not really thinking I'm going to save myself this class for the next class. I'm like, I'm going to send it here. I'm going to fucking send it in the next class as well and hope for the best. But yeah, like, the other thing is, if you're a member here taking the class, right, you're giving it your all, right? So you give 100%. I'm teaching the class and I'm giving 100% as well. But you have the performance side of it too.
Yes, it's exhausting.
And that's another 100%. So realistically, when I finish class and it's a hard one, I am wrecked. Like, you just, like, you come down off a high. So you sit down, you're like, oh my God, I'm wrecked. Like, you know, it takes me, you really do have to recharge after. So it is a lot. It's so much energy output. It's probably the best way. But
did you ever get the balance wrong and like run out of breath where you couldn't talk?
Yeah, there was one class. I think it was a rehearsal. That's what it was like when I was doing a rehearsal. I did it was like a 60-minute boot camp or whatever. And it was a big, you know, it was hard. Like, I think it was advanced. And I was like, oh, this is advanced. I'm going to fuck it. This is advanced. Like, I'm a big dog. Like, I can do this. And I did it. But then I've come off the tread. Like, they're one of the last blocks. And I was literally out of breath. Like,
couldn't talk.
Couldn't really talk. Yeah. And I was like, I sent it a wee bit too hard here, Daniel. Maybe let's not do that the next time. Yeah, so that was a learning curve. I was like, all right, let's not do that. But I'm the type of person where I have to learn the hard way anyway.
I mean, me too.
So I'm like,
as people, when I was running, when I was doing like a bit more long distance running,
yeah,
people always like, follow a woman because a woman will stick to the plan. Don't follow a guy because you'll start trying to pass each other out.
Like trying to do a marathon, you're like a mile two. That bastard's not going to pass.
Yeah, yeah.
Start fucking booting and sprinting for mile three.
Yeah, yeah. Women will stick to the plan.
They're so good. They are, yo, shout out all you women.
All right, let me ask you a few quick questions because I've taken up a lot of your time.
Not a bit. I'm we chat all day.
Do you happen to remember like the best? Can people comment? People can't comment, right?
In the class?
Yeah.
No, they can't comment in the class. But like, you know, your Facebook groups after and Instagram and stuff, you can like tag and all that and comment there.
Is there any standout moments of like somebody like writing the funniest thing or anything like that?
Oh yeah, sure. I get messages. At least I would say between 1 and 5 times a week, I get a message of somebody saying, I didn't have a clue what you said in that class, but it was great. Thanks very much. Literally, like, or like, I understood half what he's saying, or I only understood a couple of words, or whatever. Like, people are still getting used to
your accent.
Obviously, with when I'm excited and I'm talking more and I'm out of breath, it's we might be a wee bit harder.
Yeah, yeah.
Too, but like, I definitely get a lot of messages where like they didn't understand, but they loved it.
And have people memed you?
Oh, yeah,
a lot of memes.
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of stuff do you get?
I come out of a class. I come out of a class there about 2-3 weeks ago, and I had a. And it was a hit run or hit cardio or something. And I came out of it and I was taking an IG story. And it was only like a 2-second one. And I was like, turn the camera. And I was like, what the fuck just happened? And then like, stop. Like, that was it. Like, what the fuck just happened? I think it was Peloton Memes or some of them like Instagram accounts come on and like screen recorded it. And then it was like, after Daniel McKenna class. And it was me saying, what the fuck just happened?
But that's great, right?
That was great. I'm here for it. I'm like,
they like funny. That?
Yeah, yeah, no. That's here. Cody is like the Peloton meme king. Like, he's so many memes about him. Like, it's, yeah. You know, but he makes the memes. Like, he's hilarious, you know. But I don't mind. Like, I'm here for them, you know. And like, I'd even try and create a couple of myself, whatever. And I had another one, I think it was before I was doing a pre-show. And I was like standing there like, how do you think this is going to go? You know, like, so then they cut that and were like, put it before like, Daniel, 10-minute arms and shoulders class. How do you think that's going to go? You know,
yeah, yeah. So you become, yeah. And now how are you dealing with the fame?
Well, I love it. It's great.
Yeah, you like the attention.
But like, trying to word this in the right way, like, I am teaching the same job as Cody Rigsby. Cody Rigsby has 1 million followers on Instagram. I don't have 1 million followers.
That's because you're not on the bike, Dan.
Yeah, well,
we'll
see. But
you'll have your time. We'll eventually have it, on the bike.
Yeah. So. But I'm with, like, Ali Love, Tunde, Adrian, Jess. Like, there's so many superstars of caliber people here. Again, I'm still only kind of the small fry at the minute. We're still small fish in the big pond kind of thing. So again, people do recognize me sometimes as street, and it's great and all. Like, again, I'm pretty inconspicuous here with the red hair and accent.
Yeah,
so
yeah, kind of pretty obvious.
Pretty fucking obvious. So I do love it, and I'm here for it, and touch wood now, nothing, no bad hasn't happened yet, whatever. So I love it, but again, it keeps me very humble. One, the Irish in me and my Irish friends, they don't be long pulling you back down to earth.
Of course, yeah.
And then also when you're like, think about it, Cody Rigsby was on Dancing with the Stars, like, so.
But you could be next.
Hey, Dancing with the Stars, what's good?
Dude, Dance with, I tell you, man, Dance with, I did it in Ireland.
You did it, that's right, you did it
I did it in Ireland. It'll be the most fun, like, because you're in the world of fitness, but like, yeah. Dancing with the Stars is amazing.
Whole, yes. I'm not saying that.
He did well, right? He got towards the end.
He got third. I should have won it.
My fiance is really big Cody Rigsby fan. I like Cody Rigsby when I'm in the mood to dance.
I love Cody Rigsby.
You know? There was something else I wanted to ask you, but it doesn't matter. I got distracted by the Dancing with the Stars and Cody Rigsby. Okay, am I allowed to ask, are you hoping to get on the bike?
Well, here again, the I'll do Anaheim and me, like, you know, I'll teach on it. Sure, if you want me teaching, I'll teach on the bike. Like, you know, me, like, I'll go.
Because I when I was at my peak Peloton before I had a few injuries, unrelated to Peloton, by the way.
Unrelated? No, yeah.
But I was obsessed with, I was nearly going to reach out to Peloton myself and say, would you have a series of like comedians running classes with a disclaimer that this is less about the fitness, more about the entertainment, but that it would be a class, perhaps like, you know, the way they do some of those live DJ sets, that perhaps it's like a comedian and an instructor together, but that it's kind of like a little bit of a roast of the instructor and a bit of fun and, you know, like Peloton jokes.
Yeah. They hired one.
What's that?
They hired one. Me.
You. Yeah. But would you like to get on the bike?
Yeah, of course. Like it's and I look at it as another challenge then as well. Like, I love a good challenge, you see. So even the fitness aspect of doing more bike workouts, being fit to teach the bike to. Again, the Peloton bike members are serious members. Like, you know, they know what they're talking about, and they know what they want when it comes to a bike class. So that challenge of trying to meet that expectation too as well would drive me on. But we'll see how it goes. Sure.
Yeah, I'd like to see you on the bike. Last question. I mean, within there, so you're in there. It's a pretty cool place to work, right? Yeah, you're in like a high profile, it's got to be like just a lot of pressure in terms of like fitness, right? So is there a competitive atmosphere in there? Because obviously everybody has their different strengths, but like, is there a sense of people being aware of other people's success and popularity and wanting to emulate that?
Yeah, well, when you walk into a room with Adrian Williams there and he's no t-shirt on, you know, you're kind of, you're like, I'm just going to keep my top on here,
I'm talking about a healthy level of competitiveness, but is there a sense of each instructor sort of pushing each other on?
It is, the community aspect of the instructors, like, again, it's like if everybody's doing well, we're all doing well. Like, it's not like, oh, I'm gonna do really well and hope you do really bad. Like, that's not the way it operates. Yeah. Like, because we, you know, everybody does well, we all do well. Was it the rising tide raises all boats? So like, that's that very much the mentality. And me as a new person onboarded with all, as we call it, the dream team, like Mariana, Kira, Nico, Callie, Rad, Marcel and Kirsten and Camilla, who that was, we all onboarded at the one time,
right,
launched there last year. So us, all of us newbies, and then along with all the English and German instructors that was onboarded then after us, the OGs were very, like, all the other older instructors were so supportive of us, and they're like, do you need anything, you let us know. Like, you want to get a coffee, ask any questions, you have any questions about programming, like teaching, anything like that, let us know. They were so supportive to us, and like the help that we got was second to none. Like, so it's competitive in a way of, also, we need you to do well. Like, come on, like, you know, raise your game here, step up, like, you know. And we would take each other's classes. Obviously, when we started, like, said class that Ali Love took, I was like, you know, first of all, Ali, sorry for not calling you out there properly. Second of all, any pointers? Like, what did I do wrong?
Did she have any pointers?
No, she said it was great, so.
Have you had any feedback from people like that, or have you asked any of them? You don't have to name who, but have you had anything that was like a light bulb moment of like, oh yeah, I never thought of that?
Obviously, when you take other people's classes, like, you know, oh geez, that was a good thing there. I might take that into a class or whatever. And it's trying to make it as fun as possible and that kind of thing too. But just like.
Have you remained injury free throughout the whole time?
Yeah, for the most part, touch wood now, thank God.
Yeah, that's like an occupation.
Yeah, problem, literally, it's trying. Daniel, don't get injured.
Yeah, that's
injured. So that's the goal. That's goal number one.
I feel that, and I don't even like. I'm not employed in sports and fitness, but I'm obsessed with not getting injured.
Yeah, that's the goal every day. Not get injured, but obviously, trying to show the members, you know, work out, work out, work out, but you need to look after that body. If you need to take a rest day, you know, go take Mariana's yoga class there instead of my HIIT class. Like, there's two very opposite ends of the spectrum there. Like, if you need a chill out day, go do it more for chill out, workout kind of thing.
Now, the last question I'll ask, because I have a bit in my show about my mother dying, about having emotional breakdowns while spinning. Just crying.
Yes.
Like really strong tears out of nowhere. Is that a phenomenon that translates to the tread and the strength? Like, have you had people message you saying, I was in the middle of your treadmill class and I just started breaking down crying?
No. So that specific thing not happened. I think I wouldn't really be teaching that kind of a class. Maybe I am more like, I do a lot more boot camps and stuff where if they were crying, it might be because it was so fucking hard.
They're burning. Yeah, their legs are burning.
No, but it's been great so far. And people, I say it in class, I'm like, if you need to curse me out, get it out of your system. Come on ahead. I'm Irish. I'm redhead and Irish. Like, I'm well used. I have a thick skin. So fuck, get out of your system. The feedback has been amazing so far.
And have you ever seen any great videos of people with the headphones on where like they might be in your class, but like their husband or their wife is like secretly filming them and they're like saying like hilarious stuff?
Yeah, there's been a few funny moments of like, there's these two girls, Trishy Boom Boom and Amanda, shout out to you pair.
They're like regulars?
They're regulars in my class. And I think Amanda literally got the thread after Trish started taking my classes, and then Amanda was like, I need to get this thread. So she got the thread. And they'd be texting before, during and after the class, and it's like a running commentary. And it's just comical.
You've seen the screenshots?
They screenshot it and then they tag me. And one of the first ones was like, there's a couple of months in, they're like, remember when he started and we took his first class and we couldn't understand a word he was saying, and now it feels like he speaks directly to my soul. You know, that kind of their stuff that I find is fucking hilarious, you know. So they do be giving a running commentary, and then people now like kind of anticipating it after class. They'll tag me and I repost it. Like, I kind of live for it. It's fucking hilarious.
Oh, that's great. The interaction though is great.
Oh, it's all unbelievable. That stuff is fantastic. I try and get through as many, obviously there's quite a few messages, like there is a lot, so I try to get through as many as possible after class and stuff like that. But again, I just try and make it as funny as possible. Like, if they're having a good time, they're going to enjoy themselves. And even the stories, like the banter, when I go into the green room like before, during or after classes or whatever with the other instructors, like I'm just trying to make it have the crack, like, you know, make the behind the scenes funny kind of thing on Instagram and
that.
So because they love all that too, so you know, just trying to be me as much as possible and bring the laughs.
Now, this is the last thing. Do you think if you went back to Ireland now and you did a class, I don't even mean a Peloton class, I just mean like 20, 30 people in a room doing like one of your classes, do you think you would notice a difference in the enthusiasm? Do you think it would be harder for you to break through the cynicism barrier?
Oh, I'd say there'd be a few buddies telling me to go fuck myself. Yeah. I'd be like, all right, we're going to do burpees here. Am I fucked doing burpees? That's probably what you hear from buying the back.
I found that before I go back to Ireland, I'll do like a fitness class. And I'm like, wow, Jesus. You know, they won't. Like, you know, the way here, you'd be like, is everybody ready? And we'd be like, yeah,
let's fuck up.
Yeah, they'd be like, yeah, it's great.
And they're like, are you ready? I don't think so. Fucking go on ahead.
Start,
there.
Go, please, just start.
Start trying to get this over.
Yeah, it's like so awkward.
Yeah, literally. But I will say, I will shout out to there's been a big upshift in the Irish at home with fitness, especially with COVID and not been fit to go to the gyms and stuff. So they've definitely trained a lot harder and people online and all that. And they're trying to do it as much as they can from home and stuff. So shout out to them folks. But I think it's just the difference. And it's the way we talk like at home, and Irish people talk so much differently to Americans. And like, even if we say, you know, are you ready to go? And they're like, I think so. Go on, hurry up until I get out of here. They say that, but like they do, they're ready for it. They just don't want to let on that they're ready for it. Yes, you know. Whereas here, they're like, they'll fucking tell you how they feel. Like, I'm rocking ready to go. Let's go. You know?
Yeah, and you're definitely less inclined to get a round of applause at the end of your class.
Yeah,
in Ireland.
Yeah, the boy will work out beside the door because you know when the class is over, he's the first out the door.
Get out.
Yeah,
you know.
Whereas here, they'll be like trying to get front and center so they get closer to you. You know, and
I tell you what else, you're more likely to get BO at a class.
I'm fucking tell you, man. fucking tell you, man. Literally, I. Literally, I.
You got the fellas coming in with like the O'Neill's jersey from training the night yeah. before. Still like a bit of
stinking.
Grass stains.
Oh.
Grass stains on the arse.
Yeah. yeah. And the white shorts. And they love the big fucking grass stain inside of the arse. Oh, has it washed like fucking once?
All right, so so let us let the listeners know what your Instagram is and everything.
Yeah, it's the Irish Yank.
The Irish Yank. The
Irish Yank.
On Instagram.
Instagram. Send them. Twitter, I think it's Daniel Yankee.
Meme them up. Sadly, in Ireland, there's no Peloton yet, but hopefully it'll come one day. But more importantly, tell everybody that an Irishman is killing it in the world of Peloton. And yeah, thanks so much for doing the pod.
Yo, thanks for having me. This has been great. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thanks, guys. I said a lot at the beginning, so there's no need to say anything now. Hit me up on Instagram. Go check out the show. Add the Irish Yank on Instagram. And we'll be back next week. Next week, maybe actually, I don't know what we're going to talk about next week, but maybe I'll try to get Steve back on. Stephen Mullen. He's just started doing a new show. You should check that out too, by the way. Tomorrow night in Smock Alley. He's doing a one-man show. I forgot the name of it, but you should Google that check out his show. All right, guys. We'll see you soon. Thanks.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.